Fresh from strutting across the stadiums of Australia, it is fantastic to welcome into Static onto SER this evening. Jack Ladder, how are you?
Very well, thank you, Burka.
How was the stadium experience? You're fresh off the back of this tour with the Killers.
My arena tour.
Did you make your mark?
Yeah, I think so. I had a bit of fallout, you know, caught a couple of Killers. Victims, they call them.
What's that? When their fans turn on you?
No, the Killers fans are called Victims. Yeah, that's like their club.
That's like a really backhanded name for your fan club, isn't it?
Well, you know, I think it's a concept. And I was grateful to have a few victims show up at my shows.
Okay, and, so they came onto your side is what you're saying when you claimed a few victims.
Yeah, I claimed some victims.
I thought the audiences might have been too far away at those shows for you to see the horrified whites of their eyes watching the Jack Ladder Band.
No, we were connecting. I mean, there's some people that are deep in the back catalogue, and I was surprised to find there were a few Killers tracks that I was not aware of that I really fell hard for.
So they won you over.
Yeah, they're real sweet.
Did your songs adapt well in that environment? Do you think about it at all before you stepped out on stage?
Yeah, we were killing it. I think the new record worked really well in the stadium format, and I think after this run of dates, we'll probably book a bunch of arenas around Australia.
Well, I mean, Blue Poles, the new album, was obviously designed and recorded before the Enormo Domes of Australia came beckoning. Mm. I mean, as an album title, are you entering your abstract expressionist phase, or does it refer to Blue Poles, the album, being a controversially expensive piece of art?
It wasn't a joke, but it was something that I found kind of funny, trying to think of a name. I sort of had parameters on what the record title should be, and it shouldn't be a name of a song on the record, and it needed to link into the previous record titles, and because the band name is so long, it has to be kind of short and punchy. And I think recently the Blue Poles thing had come up again because someone was in Parliament was talking about selling it off to pay for the education budget, and I remember thinking that was just incredibly funny for not any real reason. It just seems like that, why would you sell off this incredibly culturally important piece of art?
I guess when you start to run out of public utilities to sell off, you know, you look to the art gallery next of what you can strip off the walls.
Yeah, I guess it's, to me, it showed the disdain that they still have after all these years for that piece of art. And I like that. But someone's still sitting there going, we've got to get rid of this piece of shit.
We've got to get rid of this thing, yeah. So, mate, did you think that your Blue Poles could maybe substitute that instead? If they sold off the painting Blue Poles, then
this
record could take its place.
I'm willing to take an advance from the Australian government. If they want to own my Blue Poles as a replacement, you know, we could talk about it.
For your Blue Poles, it's great to see that you were confident enough to take the reins of producing this record yourself, because after working with Kim from the presets and Burke Reid on the last couple of albums, you know, was that like an obvious and easy step for you to do, or did you have some sleepless nights thinking about helming this one yourself?
It seemed logical at the time. I think I'd been in the studio a lot, and I had learnt a lot of stuff, a lot of little tricks from Kim, and, you know, I'd learnt things from Burke along the way. Burke and I worked really closely on Love Is Gone and on Hurtsville together, and I'd started doing little bits of recording and stuff at home, and I'm really not a technical guy. I don't own a lot of microphones or a lot of outboard gear or any of that stuff, but I felt like I had my head around the idea of composition and, you know, how I could have a very personal approach to fulfilling the production of the record. And I'd just been working with Alex Cameron on his record Force Witness in America, and he'd sort of been producing it himself in a lot of the same ways, you know, you're just doing little sessions here and there, you do the drums here and then you end up recording some guitars there, and in the end it all comes out in the mix, you know. And so I knew that I wanted to work with a very specific kind of mix engineer to help bring it all together at the end.
Yeah, to get Blue Poles over the line, you took it to Noah Georgeson, who most people probably still know was Devendra Banhart's offsider.
Yeah, he still works with Devendra. They're super tight. He's a lovely guy. And yeah, he did exactly what I was hoping that he would do. He has a very particular sort of unfussy style of mixing, you know, and he has a great sense of humor, and I think he got where I was coming from, and I think he was sick of like feeling like he was just a folk guy, and that if, you know, if someone asked him to mix another like twee kind of folk guitar record with glockenspiels and stuff, he was going to go insane.
So when this Australian came at him with rare Japan B-sides as reference points, he was right into it?
Yeah, he was super there. And he just took these artificial sounds and he was able to crunch them and chew them up and make them feel like they could almost be real instruments.
And have you limbered up yourself for this record? Do I detect you cutting it a little looser? There's a skronking early Roxy Music style pomp to songs like Dates.
Oh, yeah. No, I just was happy to let it all hang out, I guess. I was feeling pretty bound up by the previous record, and I guess everyone's always trying to fight against their last work or something. Yeah.
Because you've also jettisoned some of the abrasive swampiness, some of those songs like Reputation, Amputation, and Position Vacant. So did you feel like you had been there, done that?
Yeah, I mean, it's funny that stuff, because it's not necessarily how I would define my music, and those moments have happened. I think something like that Position Vacant song, it was not something that a direction that I really chose to go in, I think. That sort of thing just happened. And some of the heavier kind of metal sounding guitars and stuff on Playmates were sort of decisions that were made in the moment as functional things. You know, it was like my initial ambition for something like Reputation, Amputation was like steel drums and, and you know, it was more like electronic. It was more like the Knife or something. And then as the process went on and, you know, it comes down the line and someone wants to put their thing on it and the idea comes up, you know, maybe we should do this, then it's like, oh, okay, I'll sit with that for a bit, and I'll be like, okay, it's working. And I guess that's the nature of collaboration.
Maybe you should have been self-producing all along. You know, you would have got your own way on your own records a bit sooner.
But I also understand that it's not always about getting your own way. And you work with certain people because you want to share the ideas with them and you want to bounce off them. And I think that's really important as well. But I guess for this one, I didn't really want to bounce. I just thought that I would throw some paint around and you know, in terms of the abstract expressionist thing. And it did feel like that. It felt loose. I felt like I could do whatever the hell I wanted and I could leave the mistakes in.
Yeah, well, it also seems that there's still plenty of gallows humour on this album, as ever, for a Jack Ladder record. I mean, Susan's about a dead man telling his lover to mix the Vicodin and a methadone so they can be together again. And White Flag is this kidnapping / Stockholm Syndrome kind of tale. So yeah. Has it been good for you to still include a lot of sly winks in Blue Poles?
Yeah, I guess it's a sly wink. I guess maybe a lot of my stuff is sly winks. And, you know, I guess sometimes I have been misinterpreted as being a lot more serious than I am. And a song like Dates on the record, which is pretty, like, absurd. The lyrics are really out there towards the end. And they're character songs. And I had recorded that song previously years ago as part of the Hurtsville thing. And it was called Four Stomachs, No Weekend. And it was very serious, and it sounded like when I played it to people, they're like, oh, it's like Sisters of Mercy or, you know, Jesus and Mary Chain. And I'm like,
I want to hear that version now.
Oh, yeah. See, and I thought that was funny. You know, I saw the humor in that. But I think because that kind of music, people get into it as a genre rather than taking it on a song by song scenario, you can end up being totally misinterpreted. And I think people thought, you know, from my experience, people felt like that was a really gothic, kind of depressing masterpiece. But to me, it was supposed to be, the energy was coming from a much more funnier place, I guess.
Yeah, well, the song as it stands now is fantastic because it name checks a menu of sushi, souvlaki and roast chicken.
Oh, yeah.
We might have a listen to Dates actually now on the show, and people can see you maybe showcasing not quite so much the Sisters of Mercy gothic side tomorrow night, but every other aspect of Blue Poles.
There's still some Sisters of Mercy in there. And I think the Sisters of Mercy are very good.
For now, from Blue Poles, we'll have a listen to Dates. This is Jack Ladder and the Dreamlanders. Thanks for the chat. And have yourself a fantastic launch at the factory tomorrow.
Well, thanks for having me, Berger.